Well, we continue to worship God as we read his word together. And we're going to read this evening from Galatians, in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, and we read together from the opening verse. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all our brothers with me, to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we've already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than the one what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. This is the word of God. You perhaps saw on the news just over a week ago that a six-story building collapsed in Nairobi due to the effects of heavy rain. Over 30 people were killed and more than 70 were missing. But amazingly, almost a week later, some survivors were pulled from the wreckage. Can you imagine lying for almost a week under the wreckage of a six-story building and then being rescued? What must that be like? What must it be like to be rescued after all hope has gone? We perhaps can't imagine that this evening. But if you can't, the husband of one of those rescued, Elizabeth Knight Odhiambo, gives us an insight. When asked what it was like, he said, "I cannot describe the happiness I have. I have never had such happiness in my life." So that's what it feels like to be rescued from an impossible situation. It brings indescribable, incomparable joy. Here in this passage that we've just read together in Galatians chapter 1, there in verse 4, Paul describes salvation as a rescue. It's the only place in the New Testament where salvation is described as a rescue. But it is nonetheless an important way for us this evening to think about salvation. It is a rescue. And it's a rescue that takes us right to the heart of the gospel. Chapter 1 and verses 3 through to 5 form part of Paul's introduction to the letter to the Galatians. Once we might be apt to skip over what Paul says to get to the meat of the letter, if you like, we find in these words in verse 4 that Jesus gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age, the very heart of the gospel, the very essence of the good news about Jesus, that Jesus rescues us from this present evil age. And I want us to focus upon that statement this evening, to mull it over a little bit, and to meditate on it. Now, as we consider this statement that Paul makes, the first question we might consider is, well, why are we in need of rescue? Well, Paul's answer to that is that we need rescued because we're trapped. Just like Elizabeth Knight Odhiambo, we're trapped. We're trapped not by a six-story building. we're trapped in this present evil age. And by that he means, as one commentator puts it, we're trapped by the totality of human life, corrupted by sin and opposed to God. The world that we live in is a world in which all manner of evil abounds. We see that day by day on our televisions and in our newspapers. Sometimes we just become accustomed to it. That's just the way the world is. Sometimes we let it kind of wash over our heads. Otherwise, we'd be overwhelmed if we thought about how wicked and evil our world can be. But whenever we pause and take time to look, we cannot help but see that we live in an evil age. All around us, there is war, there is famine, there is corruption, there is disease, there is greed, there's sexual immorality, there's abortion, there's hatred, there's all manner of abuse and exploitation, there's injustice, and so we could go on and on and on and on and on. We live in an evil age. I talk to many people and they will, of course, have a sense that, well, you know, that's not the way things are supposed to be. They don't want to live in a world like that. It's not the way things are supposed to be. They will tell you, well, life should be just. Life should be fair. Bad things shouldn't happen. And indeed, people feel aggrieved when they do. Of course, many people will work and campaign to try to make the world a better place. Indeed, many of the politicians who have just been elected over the last few days, they're driven by a desire to make society a better place. But of course, the reality is that we're trapped in this present evil age. We cannot find our way out of this corrupted world. And all the promised deliverers who come along, all the promised deliverers who have appeared throughout history have failed. They have failed to deliver. When Robert Mugabe was elected president of Zimbabwe back in the late 1970s, Archbishop Desmond Tutu declared, "Today the kingdom of God has come to Zimbabwe." No one's saying that today. No one's saying that today as we see the evil that engulfs that whole regime. Unless you've been living on the planet Zog for the last 6 months, you will know that the Americans are having an election. It's everywhere. What are they looking for? Someone who will deliver their country. Someone who will rescue their country from all the problems that they currently undergo. But wait a minute. Take the clock back 8 years. The guy called Barack Obama was elected. Many people hailed him as the Messiah. Someone went so far as to say, another book should be added to the Bible because of the hope that President Obama has brought to the world. He's been president for 2 terms, 8 years. The world is the same as it ever was. And America is looking for another deliverer. And whoever he may be, he won't save the world. He won't save the world. And President Obama will leave the political stage with whatever he's achieved. But the world, let alone America, is far from being transformed. See, that's the story of the human race, isn't it? Time after time after time after time. Deliverers do not deliver. But of course, the problem's not simply out there. It's not simply the failure of leaders to bring lasting change and justice. It's also the problem of the human heart. You see, we're not all simply hapless victims in an evil age. We are participants in this corrupted world. Whilst we might bemoan the state of things, things. The truth is, we're happy to live in this world and to abide by its rules. We're slaves to human passions. If you look forward in Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, verses 19 through to 21, he lists some of these corruptions that govern the human heart. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. These are the marks of the present evil age. By nature, we are part of that evil age. By nature, we're actually willing participants. And yet, not only are we willing participants in this evil age, we're blind to the fact that this is the case. Go out into the street and ask people, what is wrong with the world? Why is the world in the mess it's in? What will people begin to do? The first thing is they'll point. They'll point to someone else, won't they? They'll point to the politicians. They'll point to the leaders. They'll point to other people. But they'll never point to themselves as being part of the problem. People will talk all day about the need to do something. They'll talk all day about the need to change society for the better. They'll talk all day about the need to save our planet. But if you begin to suggest to them that it's not the planet that needs saved, it's not society that needs help, but it's their own lives that need cleaned up, you're suddenly met with, well, who are you to judge? You see, the God of this world, of this present evil age, that is Satan, has blinded the eyes of the people of this world to the fact that we are enslaved to things. We're enslaved through our own sinful appetites. Whenever we watch comedy programs on television, we laugh at the person who has no self-awareness, the person who is the butt of the joke. Everybody's in on the joke except them, and we laugh. However, in real life, the joke is on us. We're the ones who are completely lacking in self-awareness. The problem's not out there. The problem is here. The problem is here in our hearts. And we are enslaved by our sinful passions to this sinful evil age. You see what Paul is telling us here? We are in peril. We are in need of rescue. And the staggering fact is that we don't even realize that. We don't realize that. Sometimes I get flashbacks and my heart sinks. And the flashbacks when my heart sinks are usually when my mind goes back to those times when my children were in danger and I couldn't help them. Like the day I was waiting to meet my son coming home from school, and we were encouraging him to be a big boy. And there he was crossing the lights at the lights, like a big boy with the patrolman, and then he had another little road to cross, and I was waiting for him at the bus stop as I usually did. But as I saw him approaching the next corner, I could see two things. I could see a 4x4 Jeep coming around the corner, and I could see him crossing the road with his head down. I was powerless to alert him to the danger, and he was completely unaware of it. Thankfully, the story had a happy ending. But that sense of powerlessness and his lack of awareness, and that is us in this present evil age. We're in mortal danger, but we've got our heads down. We're completely oblivious to it. And that is why we are in need of rescue. We are both participants in and victims of this present evil age. this corrupted world under the rule of Satan. We need rescued. We need rescued. And Paul tells us that Jesus has come to rescue us. The second question we might then ask is, well, how has Jesus rescued us? How has this rescue come about? The answer, Paul tells us, that Jesus gave himself for our sins to rescue us according to the will of our God and Father. Now we see there are two dimensions to this rescue. First of all, there is what God the Father has determined. And secondly, there is what Jesus Christ the Son has done. First, there is what the Father has determined. Jesus' death to rescue us from the present evil age is according to the will of God the Father. Here we are trapped in this present evil age. Here we are, these willing participants in the corruptions of this age. Here we are oblivious to the great peril that we're in because we've turned our back upon God and loved this world and all its corruption. But God has determined to rescue us from our bondage. God has determined a great rescue plan for those who are enslaved and entrapped in this present evil age. Part of the perverseness of our present evil age is that we blame God for what has gone wrong in the world. We blame God for the problems of the world. We treat him very often, don't we, like one of the leaders in our world. We want to hold God accountable for the problems that the world finds itself in. Every so often you see people interviewed in television, and they sometimes express themselves in this way, that if they ever meet God, they will have a few things to say to him. They want to call God to account for their lives and for our world. Or, of course, many people today simply mock God. They laugh at him. He seems to be careless, seems to be indifferent. Seems to be powerless. But such attitudes, in fact, are signs of how warped our thinking has become in the age in which we live. For such attitudes are a manifestation of evil. For through such attitudes we ascribe evil to God, God who is the source of all goodness. We ascribe to ourselves goodness and purity of motive. And of course, the reality is that that is most often nothing of the sort. We are neither pure of heart nor pure of motive. We want to ascribe to God the blame for the sin that is ours. And furthermore, we express our unbelief towards God, who has determined a great rescue plan for those of us trapped in this present evil age. But when we consider these matters in the light of Paul's words this evening, it should thrill us. Thrill us to the very depths of our being that it is God's will. It is God's will that we should be delivered from this present evil age. It is God's will that we should be delivered from our bondage. And it is God's will that this should come about through the death of his Son, the Lord Jesus, upon the cross. Here we are trapped in this evil age, but it is God's will that we should be set free. And whenever we see this evening, we begin to see the heart of God revealed. It's not God's desire that we should live in evil. It's not God's desire that we should be trapped in this present evil age. It's not God's desire that we should live blinded by evil. It's not God's desire that we should bear the eternal consequences of evil. Rather, Paul says it is God's will that we should be rescued from this present evil age. God would have every right this evening, in the holiness of his justice, to look down on us and say, they have made their bed. Let them lie in it. Let them stew in this world that they have created and corrupted. But no, God does not love evil. God doesn't want evil to be visited upon us. God doesn't want evil to prevail. God is not willing that the people of this world should live in evil with all the consequences that flow from that. Rather, God is willing that we should be rescued. And he is so willing that we should be rescued that he sent his one and only Son into the world to bring about that rescue. For that, secondly, is how we see, or what we see here. In this verse, we see how Jesus brings about our rescue. We see that he rescued us when he gave himself for our sins. You see, here's what keeps us trapped in this present evil age. It's not all the corruption that's going on in the world around us. It's not all the problems in society. It's not all the weak leadership of our politicians. What keeps us trapped is our own sin. It's our own sin that keeps us trapped. The weight of our own sin, if you like, is lying on top of us, keeping us trapped. But again, this is foreign to how many people think about evil in the world. They do think that evil is somehow out there. Something out there that happens to us. But it's our personal sin. It's your sin and my sin that have us trapped in this present evil age. When Adam fell into sin, he thought he was setting himself free. Not at all. Not at all. He was bringing himself into bondage. And all of his descendants have been in that bondage ever since. We are in bondage to sin. And like Adam, we're not simply victims. We're willing participants. We rather like and enjoy our sins if we're honest, because we think we're free. But sin keeps us trapped. And it keeps us trapped, and we'll have that inevitable outcome. Death and judgment and hell. But Jesus comes to our rescue. He comes to our rescue this evening by way of the cross. As there on the cross, he surrenders himself to the bondage of sin. He doesn't do that for his own sake, because he had no sin. He surrenders himself for our sake. He surrenders himself as our representative. But he not only surrenders himself to that bondage of sin, he also overcomes that sin by his death. And by his death, he sets us free from our bondage to sin. By his death, he rescues us. And we see in that great act of rescue his great love for us in our sins. For we see that though it was the Father's will to rescue us, it was the Son who gave himself. Here we see the depths of Jesus' love for us. Trapped in our bondage to sins, he gave himself. He placed himself in bondage to sin for us. He died on the cross in our place, so that we might be rescued, so that we might be delivered. Here this evening is love beyond compare. that the Son of God should so love us that he gave himself. He surrendered himself to the cross of Calvary, bearing our sins, bearing our guilt, so that we might be rescued from them and from their consequences, so that he might bring us out of this present evil age. Jesus is the great rescuer. We sometimes see the old news footage on television of the end of the Second World War. No doubt we'll begin to see some of this again in the coming weeks. We see the liberation of the concentration camps in Germany and Poland, or the liberation of the prisoners of war in the Far East. And the images are the same of these men and women who have been all but robbed of life in the camps. They've been so reduced that they're barely recognizable as human beings. They were hopelessly in bondage, just existing, just awaiting their fate. But then as the war ended, the soldiers arrived. And in the throes of victory, they set them free. This evening, take that image of human destitution. Take that image of human destitution. Take the forces of victory coming to liberate them and multiply this thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of times more. And you begin to understand. You begin to understand what Christ has done for you in your helplessness. What he has done for you in your spiritual destitution. He has done for you what he alone can do. By way of the cross, he has provided a rescue. He has provided a rescue that lifts you up from being buried under that heap of sin and corruption in this present evil age. And thirdly, let's ask, what does it mean to be delivered then from this present evil age? What does it mean that we're delivered from this present evil age? Well, in the first sentence, we must make clear what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that we'll suddenly be delivered from the evil that engulfs our world. It doesn't mean that bad things won't happen to God's people. It doesn't mean that we will somehow be set free from all the troubles and hardships of this world. It doesn't mean that we won't be subject to illness and death. For we see that in the New Testament, the history of our world is divided into two ages. This present age in which the world and its people are under the dominion of the evil one. And then the new age to come when the dominion of the evil one is finally overthrown and God's reign over his people and his new creation is fully implemented. There are these two ages. And the reality is that we do live in this present evil age with all the corruption, with all the wickedness, with all the problems that we see around us. However, the good news is that with the death and resurrection of Jesus, the age to come has begun. The age to come has already broken into our world. And so although we live in this world where evil is prevalent, we've already begun to live the life of the age to come. And sin and evil no longer have us trapped. They no longer hold us in bondage. And so while we're not free from the effects of sin in our world, whilst evil flourishes all around us, these things no longer have a hold upon us. We've been rescued from them by Jesus, and we've begun to participate in the blessings of the age to come. Suffering, the New Testament tells us, shouldn't surprise us. But neither are we, should we be in a sense of bondage to it. It doesn't mean we'll be miraculously delivered from everything around us. Paul does tell us positively what it means. First of all, he tells us in verse 3 that we will know the grace and peace which come to us from God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ. Again, we're very apt, aren't we, to skip over little phrases like that. We treat them a little bit like writing yours sincerely at the end of a letter. It's merely a form of address. But we should notice that this grace and peace towards God's people is the fruit of the gospel. It is what has been purchased for us by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where once we dwelt in misery and bondage to sin, now we enjoy the grace and the peace of God in our lives. We enjoy God's grace in our lives. That is, we now enjoy His undeserved favor towards us. This is what it means to be rescued from this present evil age by Jesus. God is graciously disposed to us. His grace has already been poured into our lives in abundance. Indeed, as Paul writes to the Romans, he who did not spare his own son but freely gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? God has graciously given us everything we need in Christ. And He will not withhold from us any gracious gift. When I was a child, long before the age of the internet, some of you will too young to remember there was an age before the internet, but I remember it. My mum always had shopping catalogues in the house. And again, I'm sure many of you will remember the shopping catalogues. We called them club books. There were Grattans and Freemans and Kays and things like that. And the ones I looked forward to arriving in the house were the Christmas ones. They were full of all these amazing toys. And every day, Mum, I would like this for Christmas. Mum, I would like this for Christmas. Mum, no, I would like this for Christmas. I wanted everything in the catalogue. But of course, you can't just have everything, can you? That's not living in the real world, is it? But it is the reality of God's kingdom. It's the reality of God's kingdom. In Christ, God has graciously given us all things. God and His Son has given us everything in the catalogue of grace. Then we also enjoy God's peace, Paul says. In other words, we are at peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Once we were in bondage, once we were enemies of God, but now we're at peace with God through the death of His Son on the cross. Once in our bondage, we knew nothing but restlessness in our spirits. When we thought of God, we blamed Him for our problems. We hated Him. But now we have peace with God, an actual peace. And from that, an inner peace that flows from being in a right relationship with God. But secondly, we see from Paul's remarks that being rescued from this present evil age will result in glory for God forever and ever. Why has God rescued us? Of course, it is so that we might be set free. But more than that, God has rescued us for His glory. On the one hand, He has rescued us that He might display His glory. God's glory is wonderfully displayed in the cross, as there His own Son effects that rescue. To the world, the cross is an abject display of misery and death and failure. You see it being mocked and lampooned on our televisions. But God has in fact displayed His glory through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see there how glorious, how wonderful, how wise, how fitting, how merciful is the salvation that flows to us from the cross of Calvary. There is God's glory displayed. If you're a Christian this evening, don't you see something of the glory of God displayed in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? But God has also rescued us so that we might be a people who declare his glory. In this sin-bound world, as those who've been rescued, as those who've seen God's glory displayed, we now declare his glory so that others too might come and see it. But more than that, we are those who will declare the glory of God. We will declare the glory of God through all eternity. This will be our song through the endless ages of eternity, the glory of God. And God throughout eternity will rejoice in the praises of his people as they continue to see and declare his glory. As throughout the endless ages of eternity, we declare that he is worthy to receive all glory and honor and power and strength. When we think about the cross, we naturally tend to think about what it means to us and for us. But ultimately we must see what it tells us about God. And central to the cross is that display of God's glory. A glory manifested as he rescues us from this present evil age, so that we become participants in the age to come. And rejoice in his glory throughout eternity. But perhaps this evening I'm talking to someone, and this is a strange kind of way of talking. It's strange because you're still trapped in this present evil age. You're still trapped in this corrupt world. A world that seems to offer you so much this evening, but in reality a world that is powerless to deliver. Perhaps this evening you're still trapped by your own sin. You're still trapped by your own evil desires. And if that's the case this evening, your situation is more hopeless than that of a woman lying for a week under a collapsed six-story building. For you have no hope in this world, and you have no hope for the age to come. But the good news is that this is why Jesus came into the world. According to the Father's will, he came and gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age. This evening it is Jesus and Jesus alone who can rescue you. This evening, if you will turn from your sin, if you will disown this present evil age and all that it has to offer, if you will call upon his name and ask him to rescue you, he will do that. He will rescue you. And he will fit you for the age that is to come, that you might share in his glory forevermore and declare the glory of God forevermore. He will bring you now that grace and that peace and that joy that is a foretaste of that glorious age that is to come. If you're trapped this evening, still trapped in your sins, still trapped in this world, then call out to Jesus. And he will rescue you. That is his promise. He will rescue you. May God bless his word to our hearts tonight.